Well, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sosie!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, film talk show, here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org, and it's also available as a podcast, so you can listen to this whenever you would like. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org, and I'm also on Facebook. Working the board today, back from her two-week sabbatical, Melissa Davis. Good to have you back.
Hello.
You had a holiday and a Chicago weekend.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
Good times. Good times. But I am glad you're back.
Oh, seriously. Thanks.
And sitting in with us today, well, I guess the Tony Randall of film sociology, Mike Perry, the director of on-air branding and promotions. Good to have you back.
Yeah, I relish the role of semi-regular.
You are semi-regular. And you're semi-regular. Yes. Well, oh my goodness. Everybody's done from Thanksgiving, and now we're getting into the grown-up movie season. I had four press screenings in 2 days, including today. I can tell you what I saw, but I can't say anything about it, because I see sharpshooters outside our windows with logos that say Paramount and the Weinstein Company, so I can be very careful. But yes, The Lovely Bones and Up in the Air have been seen. That was Wednesday, and then today, actually, I just got back from seeing A Single Man and the musical Nine. So we will be talking about those, yes, very soon. But first, opening this weekend. You're right over there?
Sorry.
It's okay. Opening this weekend is Transylvania. A group of college kids travel to Transylvania for a semester, and that's all you really need to say about that. Brothers, which is an old tale, this time told with Jake Gyllenhaal, Tobey Maguire, and Natalie Portman, and it's directed by Jim Sheridan. So hopefully he got better acting performances out of these three than, say, his last job, directing 50 Cent.
Well, how can he not?
That's true. That is true. Although, 50 Cent now producing and directing his own films.
Oh. Is he still starring in them?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. And Armored, which, my goodness, Matt Dillon, Lawrence Fishburne, Jean Reno. It looks like a urban version of Treasure on the Sierra Madre.
It looks like it could be, a mindless, worthwhile way to pass a couple of hours.
Hopefully. Lots of good people in that. And opening this weekend, the comedy drama is the Dramedy. And it doesn't matter. It's called Everybody's Fine, and it's a remake of a 1990 Italian drama. Robert De Niro stars as a recent widower, who finds out that all four of his kids have canceled the annual family get-together, so he goes out to them. And some of the kids include Drew Barrymore, Sam Rockwell, and Kate Beckinsale. That's a gorgeous-looking mom then. Well, and Rockwell, I guess. But here's a clip.
Excuse me, I just want to get some expensive bottles of wine. I want to make a good impression on my children.
This isn't for children.
Frank's kids come home for the holidays.
Dad, I can't get away this weekend.
But this year, everyone is canceling.
We're not going to be able to make it this weekend.
And no one will say why.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Sometimes the only way to get the truth is to go out and find it.
They all canceled on me on the last minute, so now I'm going to surprise them. I want to see my son.
Very good.
What he does?
Absolutely no idea. Thank you. Next.
What do you think of my work? You've been looking at it ever since we left the station.
Through wire?
I ran 1,000 miles of wire a week, nonstop. Go all for my children. Million feet of wire to get them where they are today.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, look at you.
Come on, Ingrid.
Oh, it's got a handle.
Well, of course it's got a handle. I can't believe it.
Surprise.
What are you doing?
I came to spend some time with my son, the conductor.
Hi, Dad.
This holiday season.
This is where you live?
No, this is an elevator.
Very good.
You know how to use chopsticks.
You like making fun of me, don't you?
Yeah, you're funny.
Yeah, funny, huh?
A journey he never expected to make.
I never said I was conducting, Dad.
But the drum? What happened? What are you hiding from me, you and the others?
I don't know what to say at home.
Became exactly what his family needed.
I don't know what it is with you kids. You always told your mother everything. You never told me anything.
We tell you the good news and spare you the bad.
Tell me the bad news as well as the good news from now on.
Mom used to say, make your dad proud. And I know you're not proud of me.
It's not true.
Sometimes I pick up the phone to dial a number, and then I remember.
Keep calling next time. The number's still the same, and I'm still on the other end.
Okay.
Can you lock yourself out, honey?
My son lives here. I'm just waiting for him.
You want to see my leg?
Want to see mine? I want to get us all around the same table.
Like we used to at Christmas.
Together, everybody together.
Hey, what?
Robert De Niro, Drew Barrymore, Kate Beckinsale, Sam Rockwell.
As long as you were happy, I'd be proud of you no matter what you did.
Everybody's fine.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
All right, this film was directed by Kirk Jones, who gave us the whimsical and enjoyable Waking Ned Divine.
Oh, I love Waking Ned Divine.
See, there you go. That's why I bring up such information. A little something about the film's advertising. But first off, now that we were talking about this off air, I apparently hit a hornet's nest because this film stars Drew Barrymore, and my beloved producer, who's also number one Tom Green fan.
Right.
Do you have the same disdain for this young woman as I do, say, David E. Kelly?
You know, I just pretend like she's not around. I just pretend like she doesn't exist. No, I'm
well,
just kidding.
Well, if she is ever around, give me a heads up, would you?
I'll let you know.
Thanks. Yeah, don't scar too much if Mike is nearby. Yeah.
No,
so.
I mean, you know, I actually like Drew Barrymore, but I just feel like she picks movies sometimes that are a little lacking, you know what I mean?
She's
like,
a producer now, and
right,
a director.
Right, and like, I love some of her comedy stuff. I love Wedding Singer. That's such a cute movie and fun, you know, and I think it's very heartfelt. But I don't know. She just, it's not connecting lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just...
I have daggers, if I
think. I just wasn't sure. You know, Michael Douglas is the same way in my house. Well, it would be fine. I'll say this. Okay, get ready for this year's backhanded compliment of the year. This is De Niro's best film in years.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's not really saying a whole hell of a lot,
no,
now, is it?
Because I've seen Righteous Kill.
Uh-huh. And Meet the Fockers.
But I will say, he was absolutely the best thing in Stardust.
Yeah. Well, it's because you never thought you'd see De Niro in drag.
That's true.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and don't forget, he also did it Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
And I know this has been written about, but we haven't done it here at Film Sociology, so we're doing it now. Do you remember when the De Niro film was an event?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I don't.
You don't.
But...
Shut up.
Oh.
Sorry.
You just know him as the guy from Analyze.
I know him as the guy that was on SNL all the time, or that was getting made fun of on SNL by
everybody.
You know, yeah.
Everybody.
Many people.
Yes, but he was, I mean, from 1973 till about 95, maybe. No, I'll give him 99, because Analyze This and Meet the Parents were fun. Both good comedies, and he was able to actually do comedy for a change.
Yeah, kind of breaking out of the De Niro mold.
Right. And now it's accepting any script that's thrown at you, it feels like. If he's doing this to finance the Tribeca Film Festival, okay, I guess.
Why do actors do this? Why do, like, great actors do these things?
I think a couple things. Could be that De Niro is, well, he's got to be, what, 70?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the last cop movie I saw him in was Righteous Kill, and you could tell he was kind of phoning that one in.
Yeah.
But, you know, he can't do the action that he used to do back in the Godfather days.
You know, and apparently all the heavy male dramas are getting to younger actors. Mm. You know, could you see De Niro doing State of Play, for instance?
I can see it, but
nobody's going to finance it.
No, no.
So it just reminded me, I just have to think, like, Olivier did a lot of films so he could help finance the National Theater. That's the only thing I can justify this with. I don't know, and he, you know, he can write me with her if he wants at msociate@wfyi.org, which I seriously doubt. But it just seems like if it's a question of these are the scripts that he's getting or he's getting the check, because I know he's getting paid fairly well for stuff like Showtime and this and what have you. But I really, really hope he's got one more home run in him. I guess that's all I'm asking. Him and Pacino, too. Just give me one more Best Acting nomination and do whatever it is you have to do. Now, that being said, I mean, this film, it's okay. You can figure out early on he is the parent that nobody tells bad news to. And I mentioned the three children, Sam Rockwell, Kate Beckinsale, and the actress who will remain nameless in front of my – the former Mrs. Green. But and there's not a fourth, and there's a plot point reason, which I will not reveal to this to you wonderful people. But the thing about the advertising is it does, because it's got oldies, because you hear Stevie Wonder, it kind of has a little cheerful vibe, and it's not the case with this film. And I'm not saying it's advertised like Four Christmases, which is god-awful obnoxious, but there's, you know, Drew hitting Sam with a snowball, and it seems a lot lighter than it actually is. So, because there's never been bad advertising campaigns in films, right?
Oh, no.
Marley and Me, and, well, Four Christmases is just obnoxious. But it is not the obnoxious holiday season show, but you see the onion unravel pretty quickly, and when you realize the onion is unraveling that quickly, the film can't end fast enough. So, but
you had me interested there a little bit, because I was saying this is such a lightweight film based on its trailer.
No, quite the contrary. But it's not Marley and Me. No puppies die and there's no miscarriage, for sake.
What?
But
what, Marley? No, I'm just kidding.
We went through this.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it actually.
Don't.
No.
It'll upset the children. Will be upset.
Yeah.
It's really okay.
Right.
But anyway,
what, Marley has a miscarriage?
No.
The dog?
No, the dog dies, but they don't. Which is one thing. But the Jennifer Aniston character has a miscarriage.
Right.
You can't allude to that when you have a Beethoven trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't even do In the Good Times and the Bad. I know you probably shouldn't say miscarriage in the trailer, but at least give us some implication that there's going to be some heavy stuff, not just a dog with a puppy with a bow around its neck.
Right.
But anyway, for this one, yeah, the advertising's deceiving. It's okay. You know, rent it. Go to a matinee if you've seen everything else. But just be warned. But yes, please, let's somebody get an independent drama to Robert, to Mr. De Niro, so we can see him in his glory at least one more time. I would feel a lot better. I would really feel a lot better. I got stoked. I remember in 1993, Rolling Stone, now granted it's Peter Travers, and take that for what it's worth, but he wrote an article called Is De Niro Slipping? And he did a dual review of Mad Dog and Glory and This Boy's Life. You know, not great stuff, but it just, he was not favorable of either one. But I just thought, it just seemed like blasphemy. Of course, I was a college student, and everything is blasphemy. But apparently he saw some of the writing on the wall, apparently. So please, one more nomination, please. Call Marty. That would be good. You know, because apparently he was the original idea for the Jack Nicholson role in The Departed, which would have been fine.
Yeah.
Would have been fine. Happy that Jack did it, but nonetheless. So anyway, rent it, go to a matinee, I guess. But yeah, let's get a better film for Mr. De Niro, please.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Now, Mr. Perry,
yes.
you I know you've been catching up on a lot of films recently.
A few.
What have you seen?
It was a long holiday.
It was a long holiday.
Let's see.
Where do you want to begin?
Let's see, I've done 2012, Boondock Saints 2.
God, you saw that?
I did.
And?
If you don't expect too much of it, it can be pretty entertaining. It's way over the top in
like
violence
more
and attitude.
Than the first and...
It kind of makes fun of itself a lot.
Does it know it?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the tongue is very firmly in cheek throughout the majority of those movies.
And from Mr. Duffy, that's saying something, I guess.
So I didn't hate it. It won't win any awards.
Another but, quote that won't get in the ad campaign. I didn't hate it.
But if you don't expect too much, you'll do fine.
Wow. Because a couple of write-ups I've read have been scathing.
Oh, well.
I got a feeling also people, a lot of people don't like the filmmaker.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen Overnight?
Yeah.
Okay, you, all right, hold on. You are familiar with the film that is Boondock Saints?
No.
Okay, all right, oh, that's fine. No. But there is a wonderful documentary. Actually, I think it's better than the actual film itself, called Overnight, and it's about Troy Duffy, who gets the writer and director of this film, and he gets a $1 million deal from Miramax, and it goes to his head and demands a lot, and it just crumbles. The deal just absolutely crumbles, and it's a great look at the rise and quick fall of a budding young filmmaker, and when ego gets in the way, it's really really well done.
Well, he definitely channels his inner Tarantino in this movie.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
But like it's over the top comic book stuff. Julie Benz from Dexter is the girl in this, and she is channeling her inner Kira Sedgwick from The Closer. I mean, way over the top Southern accent. Mm-hmm. She's the smartest girl in the room, and then things just go way south with her character halfway through the movie. But it's bad in a good way. It's bad that
like
you can sit through and make fun of. Yes.
Like the
yes.
list we're going to talk to in a bit?
Okay. It will make next year's list.
Wow. Was there anybody else in the theater with you?
There were a couple people.
Okay.
Okay. I wasn't there all by myself.
Just checking.
I wasn't hearing crickets. Let's see. What else I saw? I saw Amelia.
You were also, you and I and Emma were the only three people that saw that film.
I expected so much more from that movie.
It was a shame.
Let's see. I need to see the list I printed out for you.
Well, okay.
But
I'll tell you what. We'll get back to you. And Melissa, you saw a documentary.
Yes, I did. I saw a documentary by Ricky Lake. Go Ricky. You know.
So long as it's not our talk show. So long as it's not our talk show.
No, it was a really fantastic documentary called The Business of Being Born. And it was all about home birth, doulas, midwives, hospital birth. I mean, it was just such a great look at the birthing community now, you know. And it was just a really great movie. Very eye-opening. And any woman that's thinking of procreating.
Or having twins.
You're having twins. And my sister's having twins, so I'm going to make her see it.
But I told her, not Dead Ringers.
I don't even know. Mm.
I knew Mike would. I said maybe both Parent Traps, but not that.
No,
it's a great, great movie. And you know, I mean, you always sense that Ricky Lake had a little substance going on, and she just proves to be a very intellectual, interesting woman.
Now
so,
she directing, producing, hosting.
I think both. Really, she's kind of narrating, and it's weaving in and out. It's she and a producer that she's working with, Abby Epstein, who actually ended up getting pregnant during the filming. So you see her journey, as well as they follow a midwife in New York City.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's a really great movie. Even, I don't know, I just thought it was really well done. Fun. Not like a stark, dun, 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 this is awful, this is terrible, because there's a lot of, there's a lot of weird stuff between the natural birth community and hospital birth, and there's there's a lot of friction there. This shows everything in a very positive manner, and I think that that's really cool.
That's good.
And good stuff.
And you give a stroller to Maggie Gyllenhaal. I love my babies. Why would I want to push them from me?
Okay. Nice.
See, I'm glad this was made, because when my wife got pregnant, I had pitched the 9-part documentary Ken Burns series about birth.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, she turned me down. No, she tried.
There's no.
I'd
be interested. I'd be like, wow, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, see, well, thank you. I think the deal breaker is when I said we filmed the conception and the birth.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now. Now you're turning back on me.
You don't need to, videotape it. You just need stills that he can pan and scan on.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, now we're starting to go down a bad path.
Now, I highly recommend that people go get this
movie. Cool.
And it's not preachy. That's what sometimes with documentaries, even with oh, the guy who ate all the McDonald's. You know what I'm talking
Morgan
about.
Morgan Spurlock.
Right, mm-hmm. Right,
right.
That movie started to really bug me in the middle because it was talking and talking by professors. Blah, 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 and I was kind of like, yeah, okay, I get it. It's bad. It's bad. Come on, go, go. You know, so this is quick, and well, I like that. It's not a very drawn-out documentary talking about... Blah.
There are some... Well, and there are also, there are some documentaries that... Either you know the subject matter too much. Like, I remember I was really kind of bummed out by Gonzo and by the U.S. versus John Lennon because I knew that. And, mm-hmm. and you're, I guess you're going to a 101 audience who know nothing about the subject or what I used to call an NSN, a no news item. And this sounds like a no documentary subject.
Right.
As, you know, mm-hmm. food is bad. If you have it every day, it is bad. So, right. I guess that goes to a different crowd as far as getting information on that aspect.
I think it's good for the birth expert as well as someone who's, oh, I'm pregnant, okay, I want to see what's going on here. I mean, it would be awesome if OBGYNs and nurses would watch it. I just think it's a really, really good movie and says a lot about our culture in regards to, like, and insurance. It covers a lot of topics.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's at thebusinessofbeingborn.com.
Very good.
Not
cool.
Take out that part.
Now, are there hamburger phones?
No, I'm sorry.
Honest to blog, no?
No.
Okay.
No.
See, producer's on the prowl. She's even seeing stuff. All right, you got your brain freeze back?
Yes. Yeah. Let's see. I've seen The Blind Side. That's the best movie of the fall so far for me.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I felt so good leaving that theater.
Aww.
Which you're supposed to, I suppose.
Which you're supposed to.
And it's not a romantic comedy with Sandra Bullock, so bully for her.
Right. It would surprise me if she does not get nominated. She carries this film on her shoulder.
And word is starting buzz that she's due.
Yeah.
The fact that she's been around, if she had a major hit and now has something of substance. So it's
And she's
possible.
Had two big box office hits this year, so...
Yeah, I was amazed at the second weekend that this film, it opened decent, and then it was only, like, I think about $9 million less than Twilight. That's a whole different group of folks.
I'll be interested to see what it does this weekend.
Yes.
Since the focus of the movie, Michael Orr, was playing in prime time on Sunday night. They were playing Baltimore.
He has not seen the film yet.
Ah. And he had some things, but he did have some things to say about
okay.
it. Christmas Carol, spend the extra $3 for the 3D.
I agree.
Fantastic Mr. Fox, just great
Wasn't
old
that fun?
School stop action animation.
You're disloyal. That's my favorite line in the film.
Men Who Stare at Goats, you see everything in the trailer.
Bummer.
Old Dogs.
You saw Old Dogs?
I saw Old Dogs.
Okay, I kind of wanted to see that.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It's a little funnier than the trailer would have you think. It's a toned-down Robin Williams, but still Robin Williams.
If you like Wild Hogs.
I'm sure, like...
Travolta, is Travolta. I mean, there aren't any surprises here in this movie. You pretty much know what you're going to get, but... I was impressed that there was more to it than just the trailer would lead you to believe.
Oh, boy. They didn't screen that for us. Big shock.
Paranormal Activity,
right,
best horror film I've seen in a long time without any horror in it.
Right.
I mean, not any gore.
Not Saw 6.
And I've stayed away from the Twilight movie.
You're too old.
If I can't get in,
you can't get it. And who are you dating to send to go see Twilight?
Oh, the GF this time last year dragged me to Twilight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on, shall we? We'll take a short break and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and some old titles. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HT2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our on-track artist featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, Melissa Davis and Mike Perry are here with me. One other note before we get to the DVDs, I forgot to mention this. If you don't have any plans this evening at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, I guess this was inevitable, at 7:30 p.m., A Christmas Story, which I still think is way overrated. I just don't get that.
What?
Oh, wait a minute.
With Ralphie?
Yeah.
You don't get A Christmas Story?
I'm afraid you... When I was
Are you American?
Oh, don't even start that nonsense. You want,
Are
you, want
you
to see
American?
My, you want to see my birth certificate?
Man, I'm just speechless.
When
man.
I was 13... Yes, you will shoot your eye out. Too whiny. Too obnoxious.
It's a great movie.
It's not that great.
It's heartwarming and awesome. It's lovely. That's such a good movie.
A little brother snorting his face in the mashed potatoes.
I love
That's
that.
That's lovely. And,
and the mom goes along. It's great on so many. It's in northern Indiana, so if you're from...
Okay, that's the, and that... Oh, that's the other thing, because it's set in the state, therefore you must like
no,
it.
No, but it's like you can understand the parts of it. I don't know. I love
and
it.
And no film... No film should be put on a 24-hour loop on TNT.
Should.
No.
Yes, it should.
No.
Oh, if they ever stop that, I will have a meltdown for Christmas.
Well, I had a friend of mine who was going into, you know, shock because he was thinking that marathon was over Thanksgiving weekend, and he was going, what is TBS doing to me?
I just don't.
It's not Christmas yet, dude.
I can't believe you don't get that's the best Christmas movie ever.
No, it's called It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my goodness. No.
There, the chink of my armor has been shown.
I love
there.
It. I should get a tattoo of that movie. That's how much I love that movie.
Really?
I love that movie.
Tattoo-inducing? Really? You're
love
just
it.
Saying that to irritate me.
No, I wouldn't get a tattoo, but I do love that movie.
I so want one of those lamps.
yes, the leg lamp. And you can buy them online. I don't know where, but if you Google leg lamp,
so
you will see.
If any of my friends are listening, you know, with my birthday and Christmas both coming up real soon.
Wow.
The leg
and,
lamp.
And I, also, the leg lamp. A side note, I blame this film for the action movies that have women half the age with the men, because... Darren McGavin's, 70, and Melinda Dillon's 30 in that film?
I don't think so. He had to have been, he is older, but I think he had to have been, 50, but I think he was a pretty old-looking 50. Because...
Oh, Darren McGavin was born.
Oh, yeah.
He was, he came out that way.
Right.
He came out of the womb looking for the Night Stalker. See, Night Stalker's a TV show before you were born. Right, it's fine. Right.
Well, he was in, I hate Billy Madison, but that's when he really was very old. So
yes,
I don't know.
He was.
Yeah, I don't think the age gap between is too much there, probably.
Okay.
But who knows? I was young.
Man. Do you remember? Do you ever see episodes of Riverboat? That was his first.
I have seen one
with
think.
A young Burt Reynolds,
yeah.
The guy who
yeah.
drives the riverboat. This is 50s television, very old.
Kind of
all right, now that I've just defecated all over the American flag and my guest,
aww.
That I don't like this film as much as everybody else.
Mm.
Move on.
I just feel sorry for you.
Do
really?
You really? Oh no, actually no. The chink in my armor, of course, was Grease. I don't like Grease. I don't like A Christmas Story.
Okay.
That's right. And I'll kick apple pie while I'm leaving. The building. Is that all right?
All right.
Well, outside of Olivia in the outfit at the end, yeah, I'm kind of with you there on Grease.
Yes, because
I don't like Grease.
Thank you.
No.
Well, some people in this building, you can't bring that up.
Oh, really?
Some people love that show.
Oh.
And theater community.
My sister loves Grease. A lot of
your
theater people.
Your sisters having twins.
Well, no, both my sisters.
Oh, both
love,
your
even
sisters.
Even
okay,
the
right.
unpregnant one. All the sisters.
That disco sounding music set in the 50s, and two, you know, the theme that we learned from Grease is conform. And even better, dress like a whore and conform. So So, yeah, as much as I love looking at, I love looking at Olivia that too, but when somebody who has a daughter, no.
And I heard that she was 30 when they did that.
Well, yes, and of course, Stalker Channing was 40 when she was the world's oldest high school student. I said, do you remember Up the Creek?
Yes.
Tim Matheson's like 36 and he's in college. His character's in college.
It's like Luke Perry in 90210 and the receding hairline when he's like 16.
Yeah, exactly. So
doesn't quite.
We got to work on that list or send it to the Onion. It's like world's oldest TV and film college and high school students. Speaking of, well, no, I'm just segueing in. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week for those who didn't get enough of it when it came in theaters. One of the better films with a one-name director. That's not really a compliment, McGee. But Terminator Salvation is out on DVD, and it's just a blatant excuse for me to play my favorite clip from the Terminator Salvation experience.
Now, don't just be sorry. Think. Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I want? No. No. Don't shut me up. Like this in the background. What? Having somebody walking up behind Bryce. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? This is the second time that he doesn't give a about what is going on in front of the camera. All right? What is he doing there? Do you understand my mind is not in the scene if you're doing that?
I absolutely apologize. I'm sorry. I did not mean anything.
Right, let's go again. Let's go again! Can I have Tom put this on, please?
Hey, Tom Wardrobe, please. I have Tom Wardrobe.
You're unbelievable, man. I've never had a DP behave like this. That's what that is, man. I'm telling you. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. You wouldn't have done that otherwise.
No, what it is looking at the light and making sure that I'm...
Then why are you trashing my scene? You are trashing my scene. And I ain't walking on this set if you're still hired. You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. Yeah, you might get it. He,
get it.
You might.
I get
he
it.
Does not
I
get it.
And good adjustments, okay? For real. Honestly, I get it. Walk for 5 seconds.
He needs to stop walking.
I get that.
I ain't the one walking. Let's get Tom and put this back on. Let's go again. Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally.
Ta-da.
Method actor Christian Bale. Everybody.
I know.
Oh, good for you.
See, I mentioned, I put this on the call sheet, and Melissa went, isn't there swearing in this? So, yeah, I trimmed that down. That's about, I think that's actually a 3-minute rant that I've whittled down to a minute and a half.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, my question was, is the film more exciting than that rant? No.
No.
Not really.
This is the dark Terminator film.
Yeah, and I just didn't feel that it was all that necessary. I know why they made it, and it's loud, and there's Chekhov showing up, and yes, there's a CGI Schwarzenegger cameo appearance that had the crowd, and yes, Christian Bale says, I'll be back, all right, fine. Can we move on? Great. Good for you.
Oh, good for you.
Now
is he Irish?
He's English.
Oh,
no, he's English. Okay. What's funny is that his accent's all over the place during that. He's so angry.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but, you know, Christian Bale has a reputation of being a difficult, meticulous actor, not fun doing interviews with, unless it's with the right person. I remember Charlie Rose interviewed him. Makes me want to see the documentaries about Rescue Dawn, since he worked with Werner Herzog, another fun individual to share a condo with. But, yeah, unfortunately, I thought that was the highlight, my favorite contribution, than more than Terminator Salvation itself. So this is what I think of that. Or do we just, it just wasn't that great.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
I know it wasn't. All right, let's also on DVD this week. Oh, my goodness, because, you know, nothing, you know, at least give me credit on this. I may not be that crazy about a film, A Christmas Story, but on DVD, Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, 4, and 5.
Yes.
No subtle, I guess you have.
Perfect for a sleepover.
You don't need 1 and 2 to get subtle nuances of that. Do you remember when that came out?
Oh,
it was like 1982 What, you were too young, of course, but
preschool.
It was. Shut up. What a stink. And I mean, not 24-hour news stink, but this was a big deal. Folks were angry because you have a killer dressed as Santa Claus. I mean, this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's the whole, the concept of the first. And then
it's kind of a cool concept when you think about it.
Well, if you're in the horror, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, there were some family groups that were really upset about this.
Wow.
Yeah. Big time. And since then, of course, we've had Jack Frost, Leprechaun, Easter Bunny.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Well, that's
so
a whole.
Like, the 80s are so. Smoke in the mall, but don't play Santa Claus being a bad guy.
Something like that.
The 80s are very odd.
Yes, we know. And yet you love that decade.
I do. It's good times.
I love the 80s.
Yeah. There's lots of fun in the 80s.
Reagan had two terms. All right, let's move on. Also on DVD, apparently re-released on DVD, because I actually own this, the Criterion Collection of the Rolling Stones documentary Gimme Shelter, which, that's a film that ended the 60s. That's a concert that ended the 60s pretty quick.
Is that the whole Altamont thing?
Yes, the Altamont concert.
And the Hells Angels.
And one of the highlights is Mick Jagger seeing the footage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Boy, it was harsh. Also on DVD, A Christmas Tale, not A Christmas Story. This is the French family drama starring Catherine Deneuve. And Best Laid Plans is out on DVD. That's already out on DVD. It must be cheaper now. The thriller with Reese Witherspoon and Josh Brolin.
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely remember that. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, which is at home, and I would review it, except I fell asleep. And that's I don't know if that's a reflection of the film. I was just tired last night.
Well, Emma like that franchise.
Yeah, she does. She like. I call it, because I saw the first one. It's Ben Stiller running for 2 hours, and this one looks like more Ben Stiller running with 2 hours.
Only he's running with Amy Adams this time.
Yes, like. You know what? It's. I will say, I think she's a fun choice in this, because nobody plays naivete like Amy Adams, and she's. You know, I'm interested to see her do other roles now that she's gotten a second nomination with Doubt. But it was fun seeing her in the couple scenes I remember as Amelia Earhart. So that was cool. And I already bought this, so you don't have to get it for me for my birthday or Christmas. Mystery Science Theater 3000, Volume 16.
Cool.
Wow.
And this collection has The Corpse Vanishes, Warriors of the Lost World, which I believe is a futuristic Italian film with Fred Williamson, Night of the Blood Beast, and, because it's the holiday season, Santa Claus.
Aww.
Not Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. This is the bad Mexican movie where Santa Claus matches wits with the devil.
Ah.
A guy in really bad red makeup and tights prancing around. It's gloriously bad.
Yeah, you got to bring that in for me tomorrow.
consider that done. So, but yes. By the way, on December 16th at certain theaters around the city and the country, Riff Tracks, which are three of the guys from Mystery Science Theater, they are doing a series of Christmas shorts with a special guest appearance by Weird Al Yankovic. So,
not here, right?
Not here.
Right.
But some theaters around town will simulcast it.
Okay.
Like Emma and I, a couple months ago, they did one for the Riff Tracks guys did Plan 9 from Outer Space. And I remember they performed it in Nashville, but it was like 350 theaters across the country simulcast.
Cool.
So,
yeah, usually those end up at Castleton and Southern Plaza.
Right. So be on the lookout for that. That's December 16th. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's well worth the money. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to break into the list courtesy of The Onion about the films of the decade. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds. I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
And that guest is Mike Perry, the director of on-air branding and management here at WFYI. This is Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Sosi. Melissa Davis is working the board as usual. Before we get to my guest, I do want to say congratulations to some of the folks who received Grammy nominations. Yes, I will be talking about these later on the Blues House Party, but in the film, TV, visual media category, best compilation soundtrack album for a motion picture, television, or other visual media, the nominees are Cadillac Records,
okay.
Really good score, yeah. Disappointing film, Inglourious Bastards, I really,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
really like,
yeah,
that, Slumdog Millionaire,
yeah.
No, True Blood, and Twilight.
Oh,
we're not vampires, we're goths.
This vampire thing could be done as far as
well, yeah.
Oh, it's the vampire meets werewolf thing that's coming on,
and then yeah, and so. Then the Wolfman. We got the Wolfman and a film called Wolf coming out next year. best score soundtrack album for a motion picture or otherwise. Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Okay.
Harry Potter and the Half Blood Prince, Milk, Star Trek, and Up. Same composer did Star Trek and Up. Best song written for motion picture, television, or other visual media, The Climb from Hannah Montana, the movie.
Oh,
I actually remember that. Yeah, well. Decode from Twilight.
No.
Jaho, which, of course, won Best Song at the Oscars from Slumdog Millionaire. Once in a Lifetime from Cadillac Records. And The Wrestler. That film should have been nominated and should have won Best Song. I'm sorry. All right. So, Mike Perry's here with us. How are things in your office? Mike, what do you guys got coming up?
Let's see. Well, we're getting geared up for the PBS NewsHour that premieres next week.
Uh-huh.
And just getting ready for the holidays. You know, take some time off at the end of the year, so I'm trying to stay ahead.
Cool.
So, we got the... what's the name? This Emotional Life is the big show PBS is going to have in January, so we're getting the word out about that.
Okay, very good. Cool. All right, The Onion, our favorite news source here at Film Sociology, and they did the work for me. I've not been asked to do this, and that's really okay. I'll give you a best of the year list and worst of the year list later on this month or beginning of January, but they decided with their writers of the AV Club to do the best of the aughts. Video games, comics, books, films, and there's several different film lists that we have, and I'm going to go through some of these. The best film performances of the aughts, and there's 20. See if you've mark these down if you've seen these. Number 20, Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married.
Yes.
Saw that, really liked it.
Nope.
I know. Number 19, Mark Ruffalo, and You Can Count on Me.
Didn't see that.
One of the best films about siblings. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend that. Number 18, Denzel Washington in Training Day. Mm-hmm. He got the Oscar for this one. Not his best work, but
it's certainly
strong.
Against type for him.
Very scary. Yes. Number 17, Edward Norton, 25th Hour.
Well, I like Edward Norton
really,
just about
really
anything,
like
so Norton.
Like that. Number 16, Laura Linney, You Can Count on Me, which we already talked about, and that really helped move her career. That was good for her. Number 15, Bjork in Dancer in the Dark. She'll never do another film after working with Lars von Trier. And I did like the swan dress. Number 14, this is one I hadn't seen. I need to rent this. Anna Maria Marincia in 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days. Romanian drama, a woman trying to find a doctor so she can have an abortion, which big thing. To not do in Romania.
Did that play here?
It was up for Best Foreign Film. I think it may have played a week here.
Okay.
Number 13, Naomi Watts in Mulholland Drive.
Yeah, okay.
You know my favorite scene in that film. Move on. Number 12, Jeff Daniels, Squid and the Whale. Excellent film.
Yeah.
Really good. And by the way, Jesse Bradford, if you watch this, he's not channeling Michael Cera because he doesn't stammer and stutter in this film. Number 11, Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Love that.
Good comeback role.
Yeah. Number 10, Javier Bardem, No Country for Old Men. I personally think that would probably be higher for me. Number 9, Julianne Moore, Far From Heaven.
Okay.
She's really good.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Number 8, Paul Giamatti in American Splendor. That's the one that really, he's not pig vomit, folks. Move on. And that really, this actually kind of shifted it for him. He was no longer that guy from Private Parts after this. And of course, later he would do sideways.
Although he was great in that movie.
I understand that. Yes, he's
he really was.
You are the freaking Antichrist.
Well, so far my favorite Giamatti movie outside of Sideways is Shoot 'Em Up.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. You saw that, too.
I've seen it several times.
Really?
Yeah. I watched it a couple weeks ago with some friends.
You know what works in that film is because everybody involved knows that it's a just ridiculous, over-the-top action movie.
And they embrace it, and they have fun with it, and they take us along. So I love that.
And there's Monica Bellucci.
Oh, yeah.
Number seven. Oh, speak of the devil. Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Oh.
That's the one that put me out. Number six, Peter Sarsgaard, Shattered Glass. I have to watch at least 20 minutes of it if it pops up on a movie channel.
Okay.
That good. Number five. Surprised it was up this high. Billy Bob Thornton in The Man Who Wasn't There. Coen Brothers film. Really like it. Dark one. Number four, another one I haven't seen. So there's two. Samantha Morton in Morven Collar from 2002.
I hadn't even heard of it. I like her, though.
I do like her. Also the voice of Ruby in Max and Ruby.
Oh, yay.
Yes. Number three, Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Mysterious Skin. Plays a male prostitute.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Heath Ledger, Brokeback Mountain. Should have won that year. No disrespect to Philip Seymour Hoffman. And number one, Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood. Just brutal in that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. There's also, and I'm not going through all of these, but they also did the best films of the decade, and they had 50.
No.
Not going that many. Not going to go that far. There's a few in here. All right. Let me get to it. Number 10. Children of Men. Really like it. I don't know.
What list is this?
The best films of the decade.
Ooh, that's a big reach. It wasn't a bad movie, but I wouldn't call it one of the best of the decade.
Okay, all right. Number nine, The New World. Terrence Malick, Christian Bale, Colin Farrell.
Yeah, that's a movie that thought it was a much bigger movie than it actually ended up being.
I still like Terrence Malick's visuals. They're stunning.
They're the best thing about the movie, don't get me wrong. But it's like, okay, land already. The scene where the ship first arrives.
It's the Pocahontas story, basically.
It takes hours, it seems like, for the boat to dock.
Do you like Thin Red Line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like a 5-hour version of that. I really would. Number eight, and I'm really glad this made, I don't know if it made it this high, but this is a great documentary, Capturing the Freedmans. Documentary of the Long Island, well-to-do family, very respected in the community, and the father's accused of child molestation.
Oh, wow.
And if that wasn't enough, one of the sons videotapes the family while all of this is going on.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So it's exhausting and voyeuristic and
brutal.
Mm. So number seven, another surprise, Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good movie.
It is really good.
It is very good.
With beyond the old ladies with swords.
Kill Bill Volume 1 is the movie that Boondock Saints 2 wants to be.
Okay.
Number 6, Spirited Away.
Yeah.
I need to show Emma that because she loves Ponyo, and that's a considerably lighter film compared to some of the others, so we'll see. Number 5, Memento.
I haven't seen it.
You know what? I was talking with a colleague of mine about this. I think for this generation, there are three films that you think about when it comes to nonlinear storytelling.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction,
this
film, and either Soderbergh films, The Limey or Out of Sight. Probably more likely The Limey. But that's a film that really, because you think about how many nonlinear storytelling films are out nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Pulp Fiction, I think, set the course for that. And Memento, the whole story is based on that. So that's interesting to set that high. Have you ever seen it in chronological order?
No.
On the DVD, there you have to take a psychological test, and once you finish the test, you can watch Memento in chronological order, and it's still excellent. It's excellent in a different way. The problem is you can't pause it, and you can't it just runs. You can't fast forward it. You can't pause it. It took me 8 tries to get through it because my wife would come in the room, or Emma would start, this is when she was a baby, she would start crying, or we would have to leave, and I finally had to sit my wife down, which I don't recommend any husband doing with their wife. Honey, you got to give me 2 hours in the morning so I can watch this. Even if you are a film critic, you should never, ever say that to your spouse. It just doesn't work out. All right, number 4, No Country for Old Men. Really enjoyed it.
I still catch hell from friends who I recommend that movie to, and they went to see it. You didn't tell us about the ending.
No.
What about
it?
The ending?
It doesn't have one. Yes, it does. I had this argument with Scott Hoke. What's the title of the film?
No Country for Old Men.
Tommy Lee pretty much sums it up for everybody, I think.
Yep.
Number 3, There Will Be Blood. Great film. I need to watch that again. Number 2, 25th Hour. And I think those who don't like Spike Lee would probably like this film. I think it's also the, except for maybe United 93, probably the best representation of 9/11 in a film, and especially 9/11 in New York.
Yeah.
So I was really shocked I made it that high. And number 1, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Hmm. I can see why The Onion would list it that high.
I could see that as well. Now, my choice, excellent film.
It is an excellent film.
But I didn't make a list, so who am I to say? All right, now we have this list. Yes, we're getting, see, Mike brought out a printout of this category so we could talk about this. And because, number one, there's payoff. All right, we'll get through these quickly. The best bad movies of the decades. Now, these are really subjective on what is fun bad. I've talked about Get Drunk and Watch Bad Films, and some of these I don't ever want to see again.
Right.
So take this for what it's worth. You know where the line draws for each individual on what is fun bad and what is just bad bad. Number 15, The Perfect Man.
Oh, goodness.
Wow, you know that one.
Isn't
Hillary
that?
Yeah, Hillary Duff and Heather Locklear, which is really all you need to know.
And yeah.
I'm
just going to say, I think a pillow fight with those two would be more entertaining than this film. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
Thank you. Number 14, Dragon Wars, which is the only one on the list I've not seen.
Despite the presence of
Robert Forster. Number 13, this was my worst film of 2006, Basic Instinct 2.
I didn't see it.
I purposely stayed away from it. No woman
should see this film, really.
Probably.
Bad. Number 12, and this was my worst film of 2003, Boat Trip.
Oh, goodness.
Cuba.
Yeah.
See, I think this, my buddy Laura and I, when we watch bad films, they can't be comedies, because when a comedy is not funny, that hurts.
Yeah.
But when a drama or a horror film is hysterical, that
works.
Yes, that works. Number 11, I can't remember if I made this the worst film of 2001. It probably should have. Glitter.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Although, nice to know,
pretty bad.
Quite possibly the comeback story this year is Mariah Carey actually putting in a good performance in Precious.
Well, it took 8 years to turn that around. But.
True. Number 10, Perfect Stranger. This was a bad thriller with Bruce Willis and Halle Berry.
Cousin Donkey?
I'd rather watch that.
No. Halle Berry's not in that little apartment in Chicago. I'm sorry. No. You can have Mark Lynn Baker. I'll take Halle Berry. Number 9, The Butterfly Effect.
See, I know some people really like that movie.
I know.
They play it on FX all the time. Like,
they must produce it.
Well, you see it on network or cable television
a lot. Watching Demi Moore's husband, because I don't call him his name, watching Demi Moore's husband try to cry is hilarious.
I wish I could read on the air the first sentence of this review. But The Butterfly Effect is a special flavor of...
Yes, thank you.
You can go on the way.
Wow. All right, number 8, Crossroads. The Britney Spears version, not the Ralph Macchio blues picture.
And Dan Aykroyd is in that.
Yes, he is. I know. Hey, Aykroyd...
He probably just wanted to watch Britney Spears.
Yeah, because that first scene, she's dancing in her undies on the bed, and it's all downhill from there. Yeah. Kim Cattrall's in that as well.
Oh.
Number 7, and I can't believe this is up high. This is not higher, Battlefield Earth.
Well, I'm not... I'm surprised it's on the list of...
Best bad
movies.
It's
just bad as bad.
Number 6, The Happening.
This is
the trees are going to kill you.
Oh, God. It's the further fall from grace of Shyamalan. And, you know, I'll still go see his next picture just in the hopes that he turns it around.
Oh, geez.
But to have peaked with your first film and taken such a dramatic fall. Now, don't get me wrong, love The Village. Loved The Village. I did. I loved The Village.
You were it.
But I was it. But, oh, God. Lady in the Water. Oh, no.
Okay. All right, let's get through. We'll get through these because we have a special clip for number 1. Number 5, from Justin to Kelly. Number 4, Dreamcatcher. Too much gas.
It was fun bad.
Number 3, Alone in the Dark. That was awful. Yule Bowl, based on a video game. All you need to know, Tara Reid is a museum curator.
What? Oh, okay.
Why do they still let this guy direct movies?
Because there's a weird cult following with him. Some people like watching his bad work. Mm. Number two, The Wicker Man. Bad.
Yeah.
Real bad. And number one, the number one best bad movie of the decade, as picked by the AV Club of the Onion, Tommy Wiseau's The Room.
Yay!
A cult drama about starring, directing, and written by Tommy Wiseau, is a guy who's about ready to get married, but his girlfriend is cheating on him, and there's several different subplots that follow about. This is a film that since its release in 2003, apparently has been playing in a theater in L.A., for 6 years, and the L.A. hipster crowd goes to this on a weekly basis. And The Onion basically says this is the biggest midnight, the resurgence of the midnight movie, because they claimed the death of the midnight movie when Rocky Horror became available on video.
Mm-hmm.
Give this a listen, and maybe this will help explain why we're adamant about this film.
Lisa, remember what I told you.
What's she talking about?
It's girl talk. I just told you that.
I never hit you. You shouldn't have any secrets from me. I'm your future husband.
You sure about that? Maybe I'll change my mind.
Don't talk like that. What do you mean?
What do you think? Women change their minds all the time.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
Look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go upstairs and wash up and go to bed.
How dare you talk to me like that? You should tell me everything.
I can't talk right now.
Why, Lisa, please talk to me, please. You're part of my life. You are everything. I could not go on without you, Lisa.
You're scaring me.
You're lying. I never hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Why are you so hysterical?
Do you understand life? Do you?
Don't worry about it. Everything will be all right.
You drive me crazy.
Short drive, but...
Good night, Johnny.
Don't worry about it. I still love you. Good night, Lisa.
Wow.
Congratulations to The Room for making the best bad movie of the decade, according to the Onion AV Club.
Number one on the list, number two on your hearts.
Now, first off, thank you to Kobe, our beloved intern here. I'm not going to explain how, but he got me a copy of this wonderful film, and I was able to inflict this on our beloved producer this past week, and you're still reeling from it, right?
It's like something that you can't stop thinking about. Like, you watch the movie,
what
and,
are you
like,
talking about?
You're like, what? Like, it's just in your head. Like, huh? Like, you're trying to connect the scenes and figure something out about it, and the more things come up, the more you think about it, then you do a YouTube search, then you go on Wikipedia, and you're like, what is going on here?
You should check out the clip with the visuals on the Onion website.
Laugh riot. And you know, the legend is this film, he had a budget of $6 million.
Right.
To which people, which in any interview I've heard, he will not talk about money, but he filmed it in 35mm and on digital. But Patton Oswalt has a theory as to where the money went, but we won't talk about. But it's also one of those films, and that's another list The Onion should do, is artists who change their minds. Because I don't think he wants to accept the fact that this is a camp cult classic now. It kind of reminds me of Burt Reynolds and Boogie Nights and Katherine Heigl on Knocked Up. We're not really sure how they really feel about the film because they've changed their mind so many times. But the interviews with this guy is hilarious. It's we got to organize a screening of this somewhere in Indianapolis, an official screening. So somebody from the IMA or the Indianapolis Arts Center or any art organization that would love to show The Room, I guarantee you folks will come out to this. But this film's hysterical, and I think bravo on this. And it's fun because Melissa I go to Melissa because she is younger and much more hip than I.
Oh, yeah.
As far as underground, independent, alternative type material, she is my source. And I actually found something that she had not seen.
I'd heard about it.
You've heard about it, but had never experienced it.
I had not seen it.
So I feel great that
and
I
you was forgiven him for this?
Yes. Yes, because it's really, it stays with you. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
And the
like bad Mexican food stays with you? Or?
Uh-huh. Less gas with this film, I could tell you. But and one of the great things hearing from Melissa was, this guy has women issues.
Oh, heck yeah. Like, I was like, he hates women. I was like, you can just tell, like, he, like, despises them. Like, he's
they're all Jezebels who are going to cheat.
They're all awful.
And, you know, I think after the show, we should take a football and we'll put on tuxedos and throw a football all 3 feet away from. Actually, where we are right now is a good place to start throwing the football. Well, folks, there you go. Go look for The Room. You know what's in theaters. So until next time, on behalf of Mike Perry and Melissa Davis, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it.